Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you all have your Bibles with you this evening, turn with me once again to the book of Proverbs, and this time chapter 16, book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Our focus is going to be on verse 3, but let's consider verses 1 through 3 as well this evening. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, indeed, your word is a lamp unto our path. Lord, we pray that it would shine brightly this evening into our hearts. Lord, convict us where conviction is needed. Encourage us and comfort us where that is needed. Lord, give us great strength, indeed, that we would serve you with all of our hearts this day and in the days to come. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Amen. Thus far the reading of his word. Well, beloved in Christ, as we plan and prepare and walk forward in this life, we must do so with wisdom. Wisdom must be the lens through which we understand and determine the plans and decisions that we make. In the Scriptures, God calls us to be wise and mindful of the self-deceptive nature of our sinful hearts. All the while, He also calls us to be mindful of the work of God in us as He helps us navigate through the valleys and the pitfalls that lie within. And so in today's text, we're looking at wise instruction in three main areas. First, the understanding of the preparation of the heart. And second, understanding man's view of his ways. And finally, what man must then do with his works. And so in verse 1, we really see and grasp more of the understanding of the sovereignty of God in the preparation of the heart. Look at me with verse 1. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, what is Solomon teaching us here as he contrasts preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue? Solomon is pointing us to wholehearted submission to God. We are reminded here that human responsibility to act and obey doesn't contradict God's sovereignty. And further, God determines the outcome. Period. God determines to think or to do anything that is truly wise or good, and yet we are therefore driven to the all-sufficiency of God, who is working in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. We are people who have desires regarding things that we want to do. We plan and we prepare, and many of us enjoy that process, right? We spend a lot of time doing it. However, do we understand what's in view here? Through what lens are we making those plans? Through whose counsel are we making preparation? Our own or God's? Consider Proverbs 19, verse 21, where we read, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." So, you know, Scripture teaches us that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We are to seek that kind of counsel from godly people. But we also here need to remember in Proverbs 19 that yes, there may be many plans in our hearts, but it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. And truly, that is ultimately what we need to seek in godly wisdom, understanding that His counsel is truly what lasts. Proverbs 20, verse 24, the next chapter over. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? My friends, we can't go on with our business without God's provision and blessing. Remember that God sometimes blocks or interrupts or diverts or otherwise breaks our purposes and plans, that His purpose. And as we consider God's instruction about this, it would be foolish of us not to consider what He says about presumption and planning in the New Testament, even from James chapter 4. You can turn with me there if you'd like. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." And note that in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live. Beyond just doing this or that, our next breath, if the Lord wills, He will give it to us. That's important to remember. Do not be arrogant or presumptuous in planning, but seek in all ways, in all things, the will of God to be done. So we need to daily prepare life's journey. The decisive divine command, God's will, determines what we will actually do. He shapes events and decisions. The answer of the tongue, therefore, Proverbs 16, verse 1, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so secondly, in verse 2 then, we grasp more understanding of the sovereignty of God and man's view of his own ways. Verse 2, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Now notice this second contrast. We are apt to be partial in judging ourselves and our decisions. Our ways are great and they're fabulous from our own point of view. We may have thought about all the nooks and crannies, at least we think, all the contingencies may be taken care of in our minds. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing to be concerned about. Full steam ahead. And yet if we're wise, we will guard our hearts so that we don't rationalize almost any kind of behavior as we try to justify ourselves and our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Consider Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." If there is one big thing, it's not the only thing, of course, but if there is one big thing that my children would learn, that I would desire that they would learn, and all of our children in the congregation, it is this: he who heeds counsel is wise. Right? The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But heed counsel. Not only seek counsel, because Scripture calls us to do that, we just considered that in previous verses, but heed counsel. Don't go into things headstrong, thinking that you're right and everybody else clearly must be wrong. Proverbs 30, verse 12. "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness." Now, note, as we rationalize, as we look at in verse 2 of chapter 16, as we rationalize or are self-deceived, we are really doing nothing more than proving ourselves to be fools. And this is the reason, all the more, that we understand and remember God's warning in this verse. We aren't the final authority. We aren't the final authority. It is God who weighs the spirits. It is God in His perfect judgment and counsel and commands who separates wisdom from folly. He determines. And His weights are perfect. They're just. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5 says this, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Consider verse 4, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. And therefore, judge nothing before bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." So my friends, the Scriptures teach us that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors when we listen to the counsel of godly people and obey the counsel of God's Word. We find ourselves with a correct view of our ways. For we are seeing them for what they really are, as well as agreeing with God's assessment. Pure. Oftentimes they're not. But through God's love and chastening, He shows us this. And thus, the blessing that it is He who declares what is good is there, and we must trust Him. But then notice verse 3. What must we then do? He says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and all your thoughts will be established." So a man who is self-confident in his own plans and views his ways as pure, what will be true of him? He won't desire to commit his ways to the Lord. And so in understanding verse 3, verses 1 and 2 are so important for us to grasp as we then consider this commitment. Such a man is void of understanding and godly wisdom. However, when we commit our works to the Lord, we demonstrate our understanding and submission to God and His sovereignty. We also demonstrate our complete trust of Him. The word to commit in Hebrew, it literally means, interestingly enough, to roll. To roll. In other words, roll your works unto the Lord. We are to roll our burdens on. We are to surrender our plans and our cares to God. Psalm 22, verse 9. "But you are He who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast." And Luke 12, 22. "And then He said to Him, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." The Lord takes care of us in every way. He takes care of the sparrow. How much more will He take care of us? Trust Him. Just like Peter calls us to do in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, that well-known passage, but hear it afresh tonight. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." He cares for you. humility under the mighty hand of God. We recognize who He is, and we're thankful that He is the Almighty. That He would exalt us in due time, but what are we to do? Cast our cares, cast our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. Commitment. Trust. As Christians, we often find committing our ways to be difficult, sadly enough. Sometimes we just plain fail to commit. Or we partially commit, but hang on to the rest. Or maybe we are to lay the matter before Him in prayer, completely, fully. And not only the works of our hands, but the workings of our hearts, and then leave it with Him by faith and dependence on Him, as well as submission and resignation to Him. And the result of doing so is beautiful. Our thoughts will be established. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It's such a blessing that He gives us such peace and stability in our thoughts. Those times when they aren't tossed and unsettled and worried about cares and fears, where that's not what grips us. But those times, rather, when we know the peace of Christ, because we've committed our ways to Him and we trust Him. We've cast our cares upon Him and truly left them there. Work all for our good. His Word declares it, it promises it. Indeed, the great concerns of our souls must be committed to the grace of God with a dependence upon and submission to His grace. Our concerns must also be committed to the providence of God and to the sovereign and wise and gracious disposal of that providence. We shouldn't complain against God's good providence, for He has brought all things to pass exactly as He desires them to pass. And with established thoughts, we may then easily say, whatever pleases You, O Lord, pleases me. What a place to be in when we can truly say that from the bottom of our hearts in sincerity. Whatever pleases You, O Lord, pleases me. So my friends, I'll leave you with this. Through the cross, our Lord Jesus ransomed us from the bondage of the veil of self-deception. Most of us have experienced the temptation to think that we can be autonomous and successful in our ways in relation to God. However, He has freed and given us insight and knowledge of our sinful condition while working in us to appreciate and to love His sovereign acts and complete sovereignty. God is sovereign, and that is good and wonderful. It's wonderful that I am not, and that you are not. He has given us renewed understandings of our responsibility as His people. He has freed us to desire and to treasure His work in us as He guides us in all true and godly wisdom. So indeed, may God give us grace to commit our ways to Him fully and trust Him fully today. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, O Lord, we have so much to learn. We have so much that needs to be changed in our hearts and in our minds, even oftentimes in our plans and our presumptuousness. But, O Lord, we thank You and we love You because You are such a patient and a good and a caring and a loving Father to us, Your children. even in times when we doubt, even in times when we do not commit as we should. You remain. You remain faithful and you remain right there with us, providing for our every need, helping us when we worry and fear. Lord, we pray that we would indeed take great joy in your sovereignty, in your good, good providence, and that we would walk forward with you in peace and trust. Help us in these ways, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.